Welcome to Talking with the Experts. This is where we discuss great ideas to take your business to the next level. How do we know these ideas work? Well, it's because we're talking with business owners who are using these ideas. Business owners who have years of experience and expertise. All things business by business owners for business owners. And now, here is your host, Rose Davidson.
Hello, welcome to Talking with the Experts. I'm your host, Rose Davidson from rosedavidson.com.au. It's my very great pleasure to introduce you to Sophie Anderson today. And we're going to be chatting about promoting wellness in the workplace. And she's going to share with us some innovative and preventative approaches to that. Now, Sophie is has 25 years of experience in the corporate world as a respected administrator and executive assistant, and has firsthand knowledge of the challenges of stress, disengagement, and burnout. She now leverages this experience to offer evidence-based, innovative wellness solutions that not only enhance employee health and well-being, but also align with psychosocial risk preventative strategies. Her programs reduce turnover, increase job satisfaction, and help employers meet workplace health and safety compliance requirements. Through targeted education and coaching, Sophie fosters a mentally healthy workplace culture, reducing hazards while boosting employee engagement and productivity. Sophie, it's such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you for joining me here today on Talking with the Experts.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so tell me, how did you go from being an office worker in administration and as an EA to, you know, promoting workplace health and safety?
I started working with a coach. It's as simple as that. One of my friends was going through her certification with the International Coaching Federation, and she was asking me a whole lot of questions that I'd never asked myself, like, what do I want? And what do I value? And what's a small change I could make? I always thought I was just doing what I had to do. And all of a sudden she was asking me to think about what I wanted to become. And there was this invitation to dream and to just be open about what I would really want to create. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't really know what she was doing, but I slowly started just feeling really inspired to making small changes and bigger changes. I went back to school. I stopped drinking alcohol cold turkey one night, and it's been nearly 5 years now. I started meditating. And then I realized I wanted to bring that to the workplace. So I went back to school. When I said before that I went back to school, I started something completely. It was allied health, not aligned with what I wanted to be. But then I realized I wanted to bring that to the workplace. So I went back to school and did a life coaching certificate. And then I came back saying I wanted to be an in-house coach for everyone. And it doesn't really exist. For those of you who are coaches and who have tried to be employed as a life coach, it's very difficult. So I started my own business. But I promised myself that I would come back in the workplace and help people get coaching, make it more accessible so they can also start improving their personal lives. Because for me, just making those changes, nothing changed in the workplace, but all of a sudden I was happy. I stopped asking them to change things in the workplace. Like, I was able to look after myself much better. So this is what gave me the boost to become a professional coach and to bring it to the workplace as well.
You know, wellness in the workplace is so important. But, you know, primarily you've got to look after yourself outside of the workplace before you can bring, you know, any changes to the workplace itself. I used to be a workplace health and safety officer at the organisation that I worked at. And, you know, to try and implement change was quite difficult, but I had a very stressful life outside of the workplace. So I was bringing those stresses to the workplace. So I guess trying to separate the two can be quite challenging.
Absolutely. And you're right, the things that people do in their personal life and how they deal with stress in their personal life will mean that they won't necessarily bring that to the workplace as well. So one of the things you're naming stress, some people are starting not to like the word stress, but whatever we call it, it's a bodily response and it stops the focusing, like the rational thinking and the focusing center in our brain. If we don't have those tools for self-awareness and to self-regulate, we won't be able to cope with the stressors and we won't be able to be a good employee or leader even.
Yeah, so what are some of the, you know, employee assistance programs that are out there? Why don't they work?
For so many reasons. First, it's very impersonal. Employee assistance program people, they're associated with therapy as well. So you call them when you're in a vulnerable space, you need help. And often they're designed in the way that there's a call center that you have you had to personally deal with EAPs in the past. And so you talk to a call center, it's very cold, very impersonal, and you have a meeting in 2 weeks. You don't get to choose your practitioner. And often those programs are not well promoted in the organization. Some people don't really know what they are. There's also a fear that it's not going to be confidential. And from my experience, it is not fully confidential when you approach the EAPs and you work for a big organization. There is a lot of information that's relayed back to the organization. So the stats are quite low. In average, 4% of people who could benefit from the EAPs actually access EAPs.
Yeah, I agree. The organization that I was working for was a government law enforcement agency, and you know, you could never guarantee that what you were saying to your therapist or whoever it was, you know, you were dealing with would not end up on your personal record and you know, available to everybody to read. And it was quite scary when some of the things that you discussed and you thought were private weren't private after all.
No. And how did you feel about the quality of the therapists or people you knew?
The therapist was quite good, gave me a lot of techniques that I could use. But yeah, it was just the fact that the things that I discussed, ended up being relayed back to the employer. And I didn't think that that was quite, what it wasn't a good thing. And to me, made people deal with me differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how can we, you know, how can we through education and self-awareness unlock, you know, new possibilities for employees?
Education, the portion of education that I do is how the brain works, but in layman's terms, because there's no lack of, my associate Suzanne, she often says, there's no lack of information out there. There's a lack of implementation. But I like to say also that there's too much information. There's just so many different ideas. And I think having a main point of call to just really understand how the brain works. So how do you actually change yourself, implement habits? It's so empowering for people to finally have a framework to change a habit and to maintain it. And the self-awareness is that piece where we stop blaming the workplace or waiting for the workplace to change and for things to change when we realize what we really want. I think there's a lot of, I'm trying to find a good example. So with self-awareness, for example, someone who would say, I've got so much work, like I've got too much work. So, and the piece of self-awareness here is what's my priority, for example. So you can give that to people via training, time management training, priority setting training. But when you dig into the self-awareness, it's more What do I do really well? What time of the day have I got more energy? How can I tweak my evening routine so I sleep better, so I'm better in the morning? All those pieces of self-awareness, they're not usually part of the corporate training that people get.
Yeah, that's quite true. And in-house education and coaching programs are really important, I feel. And a lot of workplaces don't look outside of the workplace to hire in coaches or therapists or those sorts of things. They, tend to do these things in-house with unqualified people. And that can be detrimental to the employees. Do you agree with that? Or, have you?
I think it's getting more and more, I don't want to say popular, but it's more sought after, the coaching for employees, because the stats are out that the EAPs are not being used. They don't have an impact. But there's a part of when you reach out for an external consultant, whatever it is in an organization, it's without it being negative, it's admitting that they're not able to solve the problem on their own. So they will find it really easy to hire someone else to do it, and then it's still in-house. But reaching out to an external consultant, is potentially the resistance. But I see that there is a change happening.
Because I haven't worked in an organization for a long time, I mean, some of the organizations that I did work for were getting outside consultants to help with these well-being, specialties. But I at the time, I don't think that it was enough. They weren't offering the things that people needed. It's just what the organization thought that employees were needing rather than what they actually needed. How can we change that mindset?
It's so funny because I was just talking to a new client before, and she was asking that. How do we actually know what they want and what they need? And people in the workplace are surveyed out, right? Here's the well-being survey, here's the engagement survey, here's the Christmas party survey. It's like we're just, and then in our personal life as well, we ask, we go to a shop and then we get a survey. How do you like your t-shirt? So we're surveyed out. So what's important in to really identify people's needs is raising the self-awareness, but on a personal basis. So I hope this answers your question, but is it helpful for you to know how I determine what people need and how I relate it back to the organization? Okay. So usually what I will do is translate the survey into a workshop. So it will become a well-being workshop. I will design the outcomes of that workshop with the business owner or the leadership team, whoever is on the strategy meeting. But then following that well-being workshop, where people have an opportunity to talk about what a nice workplace looks like, what kind of rewards do they want to see? Then I have a coaching session one-on-one with them. And then we go a bit deeper. Because what I find is in workshops, there's a lot of people who don't talk, or I don't know. It's not really that I find that they don't talk in the workshop, but when I meet with them one-on-one, they're a totally different person. Like they all of a sudden, it's like, they have a lot to say when they're in a confidential space and someone is asking them, what do you want? I've got a whole hour to listen to you talk about who you are, what you want to create, what makes you really happy, what goals in your personal life do you want to tick with the money you're making here? Because a lot of people only go to work for the paycheck. But what are you going to do with the paycheck? They don't really know. And the best proof of this, in my humble opinion, is everyone is so, a lot of people, I should reframe, are very scared of retirement because it means the end of the income coming in, but also the end of having something to do. So it's so empowering when people actually talk about what they want to create and what's the paycheck actually for, what goals is that enabling. And those trends, the sessions, it's genuinely confidential in my world, but the general trends of what the motivators are, what people values are, this is relayed back to the employer to say, this is what they want. This is what they value. So is it helpful if I give you an example of
absolutely
before
yeah.
and after? So there is a CEO that I met a few months back, and he was saying that his team wasn't aligned to the values of the organization. And when I asked him to name the values, he didn't remember them all. So he thought it was really embarrassing. I thought it was very revealing of the reality. People say a lot about what's not working, and people are not listening, and people are not aligning with what we want. But we're not clear on who we are and what we want. So those values, we name them. The before and after I wanted to say is those values were very leadership values. They were words that mean nothing.
Yeah.
Like if you ask them to describe them. And when we looked at the workforce between the office and the people on the ground, they're two completely different profiles of people as well, with different cultures, different background, different paychecks. And if, and now we're surveying, not surveying, we're doing workshops with these people to establish what their values are. And I can already know that once we redefine those values so they align with both parties, things will change. People will start being a lot more engaged because they will align with what the business is doing. It's not just the business. It's like, wow, it's aligned with who I want to become.
It's always you know, a bit disconcerting when a business can't say what their values are, and they're all leadership orientated, as you pointed out, that they don't look to this, to the people on the ground to see what their values are, and you know, as you say, not aligned. And so to me, it's up to the workplace to be able to make sure that the values of the people on the ground match the values of what the organization is hoping, and that there's some cohesion between them, you know, somewhere in the whole scheme of things.
Absolutely. And even more importantly, that people can talk in their own way. Both parties can just explain what it means to them. Oh, when we talk about inclusiveness, it means that men and women, we treat everyone equally. And when we have new clients, we treat them as part of the family, and gender, culture, skin color, all of this doesn't matter. So it doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be something that people can say what it means to them, yeah, and how they honor them.
It's relatable. It can't be just some fancy words. It's got to be relatable to the people who are actually trying to strive to meet those values.
Absolutely. And it's not something that you design with ChatGPT.
No, definitely not. No, it's got to be heartfelt.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, if you want to, find out more about Sophie, you can find her on Facebook at Sophie Anderson Coach. She's on LinkedIn at Soph Anderson. Her website is cairnscoaching.au. And you have an offer at cairnscoaching.au/workplace. What is all that about, Sophie?
This specific page, the /workplace, is all the services that I offer at Cairns Coaching. I also work with a range of associates, so leadership coaches, trainers, HR consultants, mental health first aid providers, first aid teams as well. So I offer presentations. So even as short as 45 minutes, it can be online. And then I have also presentations. I have a range of signature topics. That means you can book me for my next availability and I'm ready to go in person or online, in person in Cairns, but yeah. Maybe not tomorrow. But so this is the core of it. But then I can also design custom workshops based on their specific needs. But my signature offer is a range of workshops and the one-on-one coaching in the workplace. This is what I call the wellness blueprint. This is where I deploy a whole strategy for the year. Again, it can be a signature program. And I'm with you. We do quarterly check-ins. I design all the activities. I run the activities. And I do presentations and one-on-one coaching. And then the last service I offer is also one-on-one coaching packages in the workplace. So with the leadership team and with employees as well.
Wonderful. Sophie, is there anything else that you'd like to share with our audience today?
I would like to share that I have a really fun newsletter on LinkedIn. It's called The Wellness Perspective. And I talk about the typical workplace issues or things that leadership team sees and what really bothers them. And then I go a bit deeper and I talk about the wellness perspective, what's probably going on underneath and what you can do and what I could do to support you as well. So it's a fun, engaging newsletter. It's only once a month. And I would love to share those insights and support leaders.
Wonderful, Sophie. Thank you so much for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. Me too. Thanks, Rose.
You've been listening to Talking with the Experts, hosted by Rose Davidson. Make sure you have a look at our back catalogue over at talkingwiththeexperts.com and be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss out on any episode. We look forward to your company next time.